funny moon.
The legendary Kansas City-born Ben Webster on tenor sax with one of my very favorite tunes, Blue Light, also variously called for some reason, Atmosphere for Lovers and Thieves, and also called There Is No Greater Love. This was written by Duke Ellington and, of course, embellished by Webster in his own inimitable style, and was recorded in Copenhagen in 1965, released that same year. Webster suffered a brain aneurysm after a performance and died at age 64 in Amsterdam. He was buried in Copenhagen. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And that loud, incessant screeching noise we're hearing, well, it's America's bloviator-in-chief and his dim-witted legal advisor squealing that the sky is falling. And it very well may be because President Trump is being asked to respond in person and in writing to specific questions from Special Counsel Robert Mueller's ongoing probe. No hype, no misstatements, no bluffs, just hard, cold facts. And Trump is really not ready to submit to such scrutiny. So I don't think, though, that the screaming and the screeching and the bloviating has worked, because it looks like, in the end, he will submit to questioning in this ongoing probe. But it tells us something about this president and Rudy Giuliani, his trusty advisor. Well, that was a clue right from the start of Trump's impaired judgment, because anybody, especially in matters of law, if you look at the numbers of times that Rudolph Giuliani has suffered reversal of fortune upon appeal on matters of law, I mean, it's nothing extraordinary, but he did. He just managed, for some reason, to have this hype working in his favor, given to him by the media, that he's a really great lawyer. He is not. To say he's average is to pay him a compliment. And we've seen this work itself out since, you know, this idea of whether Trump, A, can resist being questioned in this probe, and B, whether he can, in fact, order his man in charge of the Justice Department, Jeff Sessions, to stop the probe. I don't know that he is succeeding in that way at all, but he persists. He's a tenacious man. You got to give him that. Wrong and tenacious. He creates a reality that he is comfortable with, and he expects that everybody ought to adopt it as their reality. Well, this is going to be quite an interesting scenario, because the Manafort trial continues, and it really isn't looking good. It's not looking good at all. As I said yesterday, the expectation was that this was going to get to, you know, meddling, Russia's meddling in U.S. Elections. And Manafort being, at the time, Donald Trump's election maven, the guy running the election and coordinating it, it was natural that he would be asked a couple of questions, but they're not talking about how he ran the elections. They're not talking about the Russians with Manafort at all. Not so far. Where they're going with Manafort is in following huge sums of money. Tens and perhaps hundreds of millions of dollars that he earned as a representative, one could only describe it as that, or as an agent of foreign governments, including the Ukraine and possibly even Russia. But he earned a lot of money, which did not make it back to the United States as, you know, income earned, but instead was stashed in several places abroad, and he disguised these accounts and kept a very low profile, kept under the radar, and he got away with that for a long time. But now it is found out that even to buy a suit, he was able to write a check drawn on a foreign account. And they started looking at his spending habits. They started looking at where money was coming from, how he spent his money, how he hid his money. And by the way, this is not just small stuff. This is big time stuff. He did not declare himself as a foreign agent, which is what he's required to do by law when you're representing foreign governments. So they went straight to the heart of things for him, which is money. They'll eventually perhaps get to the strict matter of his role or lack of it in the whole idea of the Russian interference in U.S. elections. But that's where they started with Manafort. And they indicated by that they're not playing games. They have him right where they need him, and he cannot wiggle himself out of the bind that he's in. I mean, how many possible explanations could you have for why you have in excess of 30 foreign bank accounts? What could the possible explanations be for that? And It allowed, I think it allows, wrong tense, it allows the probe to now lift off the scab that has been protecting a very nasty sore in America. And that is, when it comes down to it, these folks have no reason to pretend that they're more patriotic than anybody else. They have been using this cover of patriotism, you know, America love it or leave it, all this kind of stuff, when in fact they're just mercenaries. They go where they can get the best deal, the most money. And it doesn't matter if they have to sell their own country short or sell their country out completely, as long as they get paid. And they're being paid handsomely by foreign entities and foreign political types looking to break through in their respective countries into the realm of absolute power. So that's where the Mueller probe is going. And this is why Trump is so nervous, because he will have a lot of explaining to do when they start linking his income to foreign sources. And his uncomfortable associations with foreigners who have extremely spotty reputations. They were outright criminals, mobsters. And yet, the money seemed to be flowing, in some cases, between them and Donald Trump and Donald Trump's enterprises. So the fact that the probe is going directly to the heart of the matter leaves little wiggle room for Donald Trump and anybody else named Trump, including his two sons and others who caught on. There's been this seems to have been a phenomenal income sector for a lot of sleazy people, protecting and securing the interests of other sleazy people who also happen to have risen to the top of political circles in the United States. This is a very big story. I mean, if it should turn out, for example, that Donald Trump owes a great deal of his wealth to Russian operatives and mobsters, that's a big story. And then you go further into several other levels of, is Trump a hostage of Moscow? By virtue of his debt to a very unsavory group of people. The judge, for example, the judge says he doesn't like the idea of using the word oligarchs. He says it's very un-American to call them oligarchs. But to what extent is Donald Trump in hock with these folks, if in fact it should turn out to be that the case? To what extent are they able to press buttons and get out of the president what they need? Policies to be passed, budgets to be allocated, that kind of thing. Now you're talking really big stuff. So understandably, he's screeching like an owl. He is screeching and try to persuade Americans that this is about some fundamental objection to unconstitutional moves being made against him. It's not that at all. It is that somewhere he has reason to be concerned about being outed in the course of a probe that could lead possibly, as it would for all these people who are targets. They haven't said that the president is a target, but it's so clear that he is a target of prosecution. The stakes are very high for him. So he's fighting, he's screeching, he's trying to divert attention. He's coming up with at least one new ploy a day to move the focus away from him and to something else. He's diverting our attention. At least he thinks he is. But sooner or later, we will come to the point where he's going to have to explain certain things, including, and he's going to have to do things that he doesn't want to do, including releasing his tax returns. He's going to have to answer for several years of mystery about his tax returns. Where is he making his money? How did he get the financing to expand his hotel empire and build all these condos that mysteriously have been bought by Russian oligarchs? You know, it's a very fascinating story. So this is not just about a little trial and, you know, they're going to go through the motions. This is big stuff. And it also will include, inevitably, Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton, James Comey, all of them. The more you read about these people and how they functioned and the circles that they operated in and how they used and monetized their positions for their own advantage and for their own profit, selling out the country. This is essentially what they were doing. They were selling out the country. We've talked about Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton and the Clinton Foundation and how the Clintons, I mean, they mastered the craft of selling the office of President of the United States and the office of Secretary of State of the United States, made a ton of money. They used a foundation as a front. I mean, this is crime, okay? This is big league crime. Charles Ortel, in discussing the various endeavors of the Clintons, said that, you know, possibly hundreds of billions of dollars are involved here. We have several foreign governments now looking into the relationship that the Clintons established with them that and persuaded them to donate, quote unquote, hundreds of millions of dollars to a fraudulent foundation that has yet to account for any of the money it got. So this is not just a small matter. This is crime on an unprecedented scale and in unprecedented circles. Yeah, we know. We've read the stories about heads of state who, you know, through corruption and graft and things of the sort, ripped off their countries, many of them countries that were suffering to begin with. But this new phenomenon, and I'm calling it new in the sense that at this level, we have not been introduced to this level of crime. So it's kind of new. It's not new to them. They've been doing it for decades. But certainly to the people, the regular people, this is unprecedented. And everybody seems to be in it. So we should be paying attention to this probe, the Mueller probe, because it is threatening to take us deep into a part of the world. We heretofore have had very little or limited access to. You cannot possibly persuade people. When you start talking to people and you say, you know, the Clintons still haven't accounted for hundreds of millions of dollars that disappeared. And yet you had even major countries like France and Australia and Ireland and a lot of the European countries that donated on the strength that the high positions of the Clintons in the United States was itself a stamp of credibility. It's the same thing here. On the basis of Donald Trump's representations to the public, and this goes way back to the days when he was like Mr. Real Estate, Donald Trump had one heck of a reputation. And then, as a savvy businessman, as a young, up-and-coming, multi-billionaire, he didn't have that money. He did not have that money at all. And he was getting deeper and deeper into a world that we mere mortals very seldom have access to. And we see how greed, unmitigated, unregulated greed, how it works, and how these people will sell their mother's eyeballs to get whatever it is they need, whatever they want, and how white privilege, and we can't discount that, especially on the American side, how that plays into people giving you the widest berth possible. You could do whatever you want to do because you've created a persona that they accept, even if it might be false, and that gives you automatic permission to just go for broke. It's an amazing thing. So I urge you to pay attention to this trial because we are about to see, I think, if it handles right, we are about to see what's behind the facade. You know, people talk about, you know, you get where you're going on your own steam, and it's stand on your own feet. And these people are not doing that. This is not part of their belief system. It's what they believe you ought to do, not what they ought to do. Amazing. I want to touch a little bit on Brother Obama, who, with this being the critical election year for the Democratic Party, the former president yesterday threw his support behind 81 candidates from 14 states running in the midterms. He'll announce a second set of endorsements prior to the election, his office said. But Obama himself said he is eager to make the case, I'm quoting now, eager to make the case for why Democratic candidates deserve our votes this fall, unquote. Interestingly, Obama has laid low since leaving office, while President Donald Trump has been on the campaign trail. He never got off stumping for other candidates and the Republican Party since winning office. But an interesting thing with Obama's endorsements so far, they do not include candidates we would consider progressive, not even Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez made the cut on Obama's endorsement list. And he has stayed well within the territory, and almost with few exceptions, has he, you know, extended himself beyond the expected establishment-type endorsements. Now, I understand that you've been president for 8 years, you need a rest after you leave, et cetera, et cetera. And he's done quite a good thing. He's racked up quite a few successes, personal successes. He and Michelle Obama, they have, you know, moved into a more majestic home. They have been able to acquire other properties. They've worked out their plans for publications of books and gotten very hefty advances for those books. And they both are now television producers. They've done quite well. They've done very well. But it would seem to me that if anybody knew how dicey things were with the Democratic Party, it would have been Barack Obama. And if, as the former titular head of the Democratic Party, because that's what he was as president, he was the titular head of the Democratic Party, he would want to rev things up, especially after noticing the performance of one Donald Trump. And if you didn't get a wake-up call from Trump's election and the enthusiasm he generated by, even for Republican standards, Republicans were absolutely floored. They had no idea that these people were out there and that they were waiting for a Donald Trump to wake him up, and that he did. But we've had Barack Obama instead concentrating on acquiring wealth, making speeches, negotiating deals for himself and his wife, and very little in the way of party activity to promote the growth of the party, to encourage the party faithful to tackle the issues of the day, to prepare an electorate wondering what's become of the Democratic Party. You see the party's in trouble. And he managed just the same to stay out of it. Now, behind the scenes, he might have consulted with, you know, party diehards. But I'm talking in public, where he had a perfect right to maintain a presence and momentum for the Democratic Party. He absented himself. And comes to the purpose of inspiring people to support the party in the month of August. And the midterms are in November. So I don't know what to think about President Obama's genuine concern and the degree to which he really would be extending himself to the party. And I don't know why people are not asking the question, well, what happened to you? What happened to you? You disappeared. You went to dinners in your honor and all this other kind of stuff. That's great. But has the president acted like a man who understood both intimately and intuitively what was going on with that fractious party of his, that he used to be the head of, and whether he acted as a man who believed he had an ongoing obligation to, especially in light of the performance of Donald Trump at the polls, to take seriously this idea of sounding the alarm that the party needs support, it needs also new blood. He hasn't taken that job on at all. So I don't really care too much about, I don't find it to be an extraordinary story that Barack Obama in the month of August suddenly leaves with yet another set of endorsements to come. I'm not impressed. Are you? We'll take this break, come back to your thoughts on these two subjects, the reaction of Trump, what's going on with Trump, and the signs and signals that he's sending that he is extremely worried about where he is right now with this probe. And number two, I'd like to know how the Obama endorsements are affecting you. Is it encouraging you to get more excited about these elections, about changing your mind about the Democratic Party? All that and more when we come back at 888-874-4888. Listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM, we're talking about a couple of things concerning a current president and a past president. The current president is being requested, his presence is being requested before this probe, this committee, looking into strange things that happened in the last election. And we have a past president who came to life yesterday with the announcement that he will be endorsing several candidates in 14 states, 81 candidates in 14 states, who will have his blessing. And there will be another round of endorsements that he will announce before the election. What are your thoughts about that? 888-874-4888. Maat, you figured a way to start us off today.
Yes. Greetings to the beloved family. Let me start out with Giuliani, because you mentioned him, and what's so head-scratching is that In the mainstream media, they seem to say, oh, what happened to him? He's America's mayor. He made a mess around September 11th, 01, you know, didn't treat it as a criminal scene, you know, shut down everything once he found the gold, et cetera, et cetera. But we must remember that this guy has always been demented in terms of his racism. I mean, you know, around the police.
Yeah, but we're not talking about Giuliani.
Okay. Get into... I just had to bring that up because nobody had. But get into... Obama coming out now. It's interesting that he's did just the opposite of president that Trump is doing. So Trump starts his day at 11 a.m. after executive time. And if he's not at the golf course, he's really running his own campaign or stumping for those deplorable Republicans around the country. So that's interesting. And, of course, as Ralph Nader put it, you know, all the oxygen got out of the room after the health care, you know, passing of the health care law. And when they had the Democrats in Congress, not much else was accomplished. What was the other part of the question, Eutrice?
Are you going to be, because of Barack Obama's announcement yesterday and another set of endorsements to come, are you more excited or encouraged about this?
Not really. You know, what can I say? And he's been in the shadows, which I understand to some extent, you know, because he was kind of targeted as a black man. But I think getting back to your comments around Donald Trump and the dangers he's in, I mean, his recent move coming out and telling, he doesn't even understand that Sessions, if he wanted to, couldn't fire anybody on the, you know, the fact that he's recused himself. Donald Trump has no understanding of just basics of rule of law. As the Republicans say behind the scene, he's stupid, he's unprepared, and he's unethical. And I hope that we
all
could
right.
come... Yeah, yeah.
What do you hope? What are you hoping?
I'm hoping that the grassroots, we the people, can come together and start to say this system stinks. The way that people get into their so-called representatives' offices is to the Koch brothers who are so put off by Donald Trump that they, have you heard that they're looking to back Democrats now? But they get their agenda put forth and their business interests put forth. And we need to start to address that. There's been fits and starts. We need to look at Alex, who's got the state legislators, you know, the American Legislative Exchange Council. We need to shut them down, you know, inviting legislators to resorts and writing laws for and putting in Republicans in the state legislators. So that's a start.
Well, what I'm saying is these folks continue to be very serious about their self-interests. It is we who are just going with the flow. We haven't yet begun to be as serious as we need to be about our interests. But thanks for getting us started today. Khalil from South Carolina, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. I hope you're doing well today.
Thank you. Yes, I am.
Good. And I just want to, good. I want to dovetail a little bit on what my aunt just had to say. I thought some of the things she had to say were, I agree with, I'll put it like that. So, you know, listening to Charles Hotel, he has, seems like, it would seem as if he has shed light on a, I guess it's a new scam, new to me, new to other people, just the foundation scam. And it seems like a whole lot of people are caught up in it. The tentacle, it seems like to me, from listening to him, listening to you, doing research, is huge. And it may be so large that nobody wants to touch it. You know, cause
well, actually, President Obama has his own foundation.
Well,
he formed his own foundation.
See? It, you know, it, it's the new thing. It's just a vehicle for moving money, hiding money, you know, washing money. So I know, and I want to give Mr. Ortel credit for that, but I want him to use his, like I said before, his financial forensic abilities. Well, anyway, he may not need it because, remember, Mueller, if I remember the news reports, when they hired a whole slew of new lawyers from Mueller's team, they were all financial experts. They were, I mean, we have to remember, the first thing Mueller did was get taxes. I mean, that's child's play. There was nothing to that. But that's I think you're right. That's the key. I don't care about the tapes. Who cares about sex? That's not a big deal. It's about the money. It's about, like you said, it's about the and see, it's not just, I don't think it's just the president. See? Because remember, the electoral
No. It's not just about Donald Trump. Because they're all in it. I mean, even today, a story broke about a guy who was running and very close to Bernie Sanders getting paid $10,000 a day, or proposing to the Ukrainians that he should be paid $10,000 a day to offer his advice and so forth. I mean,
a day?
It's a new kind of greed. I mean, there's always been greed at that level of government, but we're seeing it, that it is Democrats, Republicans, progressives, independents. Everybody's in this.
Well,
and
okay.
They're persuading us that we should walk a different path, the path that they are walking. You know, they give us this idea that they are trying to be ethical in their dealings in government. But that's not so. Are you feeling, or have you begun to feel interested in the midterm elections this year?
You read my mind, absolutely. And I will tell you why. I'm very interested. Well, I'm non-GOP, first of all. And we got the GOP, they really understand the nuts and bolts of how our system works. They understand midterms elections are important because of state seats and judges. I'm worried about the judicial system, you know, where judges go. And I'm very interested. And I'm also interested, and I want to get your feedback. I feel like the way our system is set up for change to be enacted, we have to insert ourselves, like, you know, folks who want change. And we have a bicameral system, so we have to basically take over the Democratic Party. It's just a name, you know. So I call it, like, IPA, okay? Yeah, we have to insert, proliferate, and ensue control. You know, we have to just change the way it works because they're way too corporate. I mean, and it's going to be a slow process, but that's what we have to do. That's what we, like Ma said, I agree with her. We have to start the grassroots. Because remember, the Republicans used to be Democrats. Like Abraham Lincoln, he was a Republican. And, you know, they love to say that, which means nothing. It's a label. You know, I don't know if I'm answering your question.
No, what you're sharing your thoughts with us about what your feeling is about how change it. Even if it's possible that you're raising the question, that we have to be prepared for a long haul on that. But I was more interested in a little bit more immediate situation of November.
Okay. Well, yes, this is going to be very interesting. But this, the dynamic on the, I don't, okay, obviously I'm a Democrat. We look so weak. Tom Perez is a weak. Where is he? What is he doing? What is, after all this mess, they, first of all, they should have come out with an apologetic campaign, because a lot of folks don't understand it. It's a private club. You know, they're not going to say that. They're not going to come out and say it. But just say, okay, we understand there were some things that didn't go right, and we're going to start fresh. You know, adopt. Maybe some of Bernie Sanders, his new legislation he's talking about, what's on Medicare for All. It's a start. You know, it's a big haul, but it's a start. But yeah, see, this is gonna tell a lot, because really, you got the GOP owns everything right now. They have all branches, but there's some cracks. There are some cracks. But the thing is, I feel like the corruption is so deep in our government. I don't know where this is going. We have to start fresh somehow. I think something bad may happen before we're able to do that.
I agree with you on that. I think things will come to a head, and on at least, not on everything, but on at least a couple of central issues. And corruption is number one. Kind of corruption and the way it has basically distorted and totally moved the will of the people out of the way. And a small group of people are doing whatever they want to do, and they're getting away with it, as they have for decades. Thanks for calling in, Khalil. Patricia from New York. How you doing, Patricia?
Good afternoon, Eutrice. I'm doing quite well, and I'm happy to hear that you're doing quite well also. And good afternoon to the PRN family. I have to start off by thanking you for providing the analysis on Trump and why he is in such a tither, because I have not been following the trial, but I have been reading headlines and did not understand what this tither was all about. So now I have a better understanding. But right. what I want to talk about is the Obamas, because you know every time that I have seen a headline about them, they're either, you know, dancing at the Beyonce and Jay-Z, you know, festival, or they're hobnobbing with this person. And, you know, and it's very, very, it's very clear that they have really settled into whatever that template is. Yep. But, you know, people always, blacks are always people try to make black folks think that they ought to be guilty because they didn't vote Democratic. I mean, you hear on these talk shows, well, if you didn't vote for the Democrats or if you didn't vote, you have nothing to say. Just sit down and shut up. And my response to them recently has been to talk about Democrats who act like Republicans, Democrats who vote with Republicans. They talk about, well, if you don't want to see the Supreme Court, you know, go to the right, then you have a right to vote. Well, they forget that three Democrats voted for Neil Gorsuch. Heidi Heitkamp from North Dakota, Manchin from West Virginia, and Donnelly from Indiana. And when you look at a lot of these bills that are passed, Democrats are right there alongside the Republicans, voting alongside of them. And so I want to say to them, what are you talking about? You want me to do something that the Democrats themselves won't do.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you think about Barack Obama's appearance at this time, at this particular time, and for the purpose of announcing his endorsements with another round to come before the midterm elections in November?
Well, you know, my viewpoint is that, first of all, these endorsements are real tepid. You know, it's not like he's out there like Trump is on the campaign trails, you know, holding up signs, making speeches, raising money. He's going through the motions because that's what is expected of him. But this is real tepid. This is not serious.
Excellent observation. And I was hoping somebody would see that, but, you know, well, of course, he was a former president. He is a Democrat. He's expected to do something. And he announced that he was going to do something. None of the people he has endorsed are progressives. Not in the sense that we know them to be. But to show up in August...
And furthermore, Eutrice, I don't mean to cut you off, but, you know, all those black women in those southern states who are running, if you have noticed, they haven't gotten the backing of anybody in the Democratic Party. And yet still I hear that the national DNC is going to come to black women and talk about how black women have been the backbone of the Democratic Party and how we're supposed to support them. And yet still the candidates that are running, look at Abrams in Georgia, can't get their backing, can't get their active support, can't get their money, can't get anything. These people must think we're crazy.
Well, you're right about that. You know, I found it very interesting and very curious that the guy who headed the Democratic Party and who should know intimately how this thing is running, who should know intimately how bad things are with the Democratic Party, because he was there, he was in it. And he has managed to remain very invisible, practically, up until, well, he couldn't take it any, he couldn't go any further without some kind of a comment or move. So he pops up yesterday with a list of endorsements, and it's being handled in a very interesting way, so that now people will come to him, now that he is in private sector mode. I suppose he might charge for consultation, and at some point, you know, his endorsement will be worth something. So that too will go into the mix of the multifaceted Barack Obama. I thought that he would have, since leaving office and knowing the state that he left the party in, I thought he would have made a stronger effort to indicate that he has not abandoned the party, nor the fine people in it, but seems to have been able to live with that for this long.
My conclusion is Barack and Michelle said, out of here, I'm going to go party.
Thanks for your call. Thank you for calling us, Patricia. E from Edgewater, you're on the air, and you have a little bit of time. So you might to be a bit concise. Yes. Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. I'm glad to hear you're doing well. It's just the same thing going on here. Last year, if you listen to shows from last year on PRN, there's all this investigating stuff going on, and it looks like Trump any moment's going to get tossed out. But then somehow he escapes and becomes the hero of his wrestling fans again. And it's a reality show. And, I mean, can they be any more obvious? Kim Kardashian's in the White House hanging out with Trump. I mean, they're the kings of the reality shows. And they're putting it right out there in our face. They're making a lot of money for the system. The system's one big club, and we're not invited to it, as George Carlin said. And they make a lot of money for the media. People get up in the morning, they put on the news, and they watch it all day long because something might happen. They don't want to miss it. So they're making lots of money or advertisement, and they're making, you know, all this stuff is for us to enjoy, like a television show, which I never enjoyed any of those shows, but that's what it seems like to me. And you would think a guy who's running for president.
Has Obama's announcement yesterday in any way sparked an interest in the upcoming elections in you?
Yeah, Obama's got to stay in the spotlight. You know, because I have a feeling he'll be have a chance to be president again. I broke into their offices and I got the script for the next 10 years. And if Trump wins to 20, he gets the term limits changed from 8 to 12. And to concede for the Democrats, they say the last Democratic president was Obama. He had 8 years. And now since they changed it to 12, then he gets an opportunity to do another term. And that'll be for 2024, Trump against Obama. Too bad Howard Cosell's not still around.
Yes, he did make his exit. So let me ask you, if you were to make a forecast, I mean, I'm not expecting you to have 100% accuracy. I'm just asking for your reaction. What do you think about the way things are? Would we have a greater interest in the midterms on the part of Republicans or on the part of Democrats, based on how the presidents, the specific presidents, Trump and Obama, have been responding to their corresponding constituencies.
It's more of the same stuff. I mean, I don't know. I don't think about things in those terms. Could you just, like, make it a little clearer for me what you're asking me?
Do you expect that there would be greater enthusiasm on the part of people who are likely to support Trump and the Democrats, or on the part of people who are likely to support the Democratic Party because of Barack Obama's endorsements?
Well, I think it all depends on how things go with this investigation that's been going on for 2 years. And if everything works out good for Trump, then I'm sure he'll be able to get more support for the Republican Party. And, you know, they seem to be working pretty hard. They got the governor from Florida is now running for senator. And they're going to try to get as many guys as they can get in there. But, yeah, I believe they're all one club. So it really doesn't matter whichever way it goes. We're just going to get more of the same stuff. We need to get people together like they had the Million Man March. We need the 10 million people march on Washington. Every color in the book, black, white, purple, green, don't matter to me. We all have to get down there and show the force that we have to let them wake up and say, we're not going to take it anymore. We can organize 10 million people in an instant, and we want things done in a different way, and we're tired of this nonsense, and this is inhuman behavior, and it doesn't make any sense, and we're not going to be clowns anymore and just be led down this road. But that's just me.
Well, we have to leave it there, I'm afraid. We're out of time, but thank you for contributing to our discussion today. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Expanding Mind with Eric Davis. And tomorrow, of course, is Time to Free Your Mind. We'll see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.